In today's episode, we talk about real-world use cases of process mining and data quality issues with Mo Win. I'm Anton Yeshenko, and you're listening to A Side of Data, a podcast about unconventional side of data science. Today I'm happy to meet Mo Win, Associate Professor at Queensland University of Technology. She got more than 70 papers published in various journals and conferences in information research. Also, she's been active contributor to YAL, Modeling Language for Business Process Management Systems. Also, you have a patent in business process management. She got strong ties with real-world process mining use cases as a founder of Asia Pacific Process Mining Competency Center. And thank you for joining A Side of Data. How are you today?
Good, thank you. And thank you for having me.
So I wanted to ask about what is, in your opinion, perfect use case for process mining methods? And how would you identify if process mining could be used for a particular project?
Okay, so for me, a perfect use case is when we can provide new insights to the stakeholders about their business process operations. So in most cases, that means that we will be automatically discovering process models from their processes, as well as doing comparative performance analysis of these processes. So for example, the stakeholder might be interested in looking at how different departments are performing different processes, or how different customers are treated. So they are always interested in comparing the process behavior and process performance of different groups of cases.
Okay, maybe you can elaborate on how to identify more, like if I'm a, for example, I'm a business owner and I see that my business is not doing so well, and then I got to know that there exists process mining.
Yeah.
So where should I look?
Okay, so if we are trying to see whether process mining can help a particular business, of course we start looking at what sort of data is already recorded. As you know, the basic requirements of process mining is very minimal. All we have to know is what is the case, right? What are the timestamps that are associated with which activities? In most cases, the organizations will tell us that they record everything. Then we need to ask them more detailed questions like, how many timestamps do you record, or have you recorded for that process? Because as you know, depending on the number of timestamps that we have, then that links to the number of activities that we can actually discover for the model. So we will be looking at the questions that they have in mind, and we will then analyze the data, what data is collected, and what is the quality of that data. So those two things are very important. So normally we will try to help them decide for themselves whether process mining could be beneficial by giving them a short demonstration of the different types of process mining analysis we can do. So we'll tell them that what process discovery is, we'll tell them what process performance is, we'll tell them what conformance analysis is, and so on. Then we will then work together closely with them to see whether or not the data that they have collected is suitable for process mining analysis. Sometimes what happens is that the organizations are very interested in doing data-driven analysis, but we might find that the quality of that data is not very good. So our process mining case study, like the first one, becomes more like a suitability analysis case study rather than the insight, you know, insight as an outcome. So we have found quite a number of cases like that.
So they need to first think about suitability analysis.
Yes. So so two steps, right? So I would say that normally what we do is I would call it like an exploratory analysis. So they will give us a snapshot of their data, and then we will try to quickly have a look at whether or not the data is relevant, complete, and what sort of quality those particular timestamps are. So for example, we'll be looking at whether the timestamps are recorded at milliseconds level or whether they are recorded at the day level. Mm-hmm. We'll ask them when they are recorded. So we'll ask them, is it recorded at the time that a particular activity is completed, right? The system forces this or not? Or whether someone enters the date that something is completed mm-hmm. after the fact. So we'll do quite a thorough analysis of the data that they will provide. And that could mean that we either get the insights at the end or we can give them advice on the quality of their data and how to collect better data if they are interested in process mining analysis in the future.
Mm-hmm. So as a business owner, you would think if your data is good enough, and then if there are distinct cases that you can actually find that process there.
Yes. So we will be asking them, what sort of case perspectives they would like us to analyze. So for example, it could be possible that one case perspective is okay. So let's say for an emergency department, they will have what they will call an episode. So when you get to the emergency department, they will register you as, you know, a new patient. They will treat you in the emergency department and they will discharge you from the emergency department. So if you say that one case is one episode, then it's possible to analyze it because you know a person arriving at the hospital, get treated and discharged. It's the same case ID. But if you want to say, or if the organization said, no, I would like to keep track of how many times this patient came to the hospital or came to the emergency department in a month, let's say, mm-hmm. and what's the outcome? In that case, you know that the correlation issue comes into play. So we need to make sure that not only are we looking at the episodes, you know, one at a time, we need to be able to link back to, is it the same patient? Is it the same person coming to the hospital? So depending on what sort of case perspective an organization is interested in, sometimes the data is suitable for one particular type of analysis, but not for the other. If the linking information, correlating information is not available.
Interesting. What about, maybe you can link to some use case that you already discovered, for example, about medical system.
Okay. Yeah, so with the medical systems, we have been working on a number of healthcare projects or healthcare-related projects over the last 5 to 10 years. And as you would know, in the healthcare system, like recording the data, you know, at the time that something is happening, is not like the first priority because the healthcare practitioners are all focused on saving the patient's life, not, you know, recording when a blood pressure was taken and so on and so on. So we normally found that if you try to look for data or if you try to work with the healthcare data, most of the time, the timestamps sometimes are not as reliable as you would like it to be, because the data is recorded after the fact. So that's one challenge. The other challenge is that no two patients are treated, you know, in the same sort of like order. Activities are not done in the same order. Mm-hmm. It's not like a insurance claim, or it's not like, you know, kind of logistic one. So we are dealing with multiple process variances. So that's the second challenge you have with the hospital data. But it's still possible. So with enough data pre-processing and with being aware of what are the challenges with the timestamp, we can still find the general process model or the flow, the patient flow, and we can then analyze at a little bit high level what are the differences between the process behavior as well as the process performance. So one of the use cases that we have mm-hmm. done is that we analyzed data from 4 different South Australian hospitals, public hospitals. So we look at patients arriving at the emergency department with chest pain symptoms to one of those 4 hospitals. And mm-hmm. we try to follow or track that patient through the system to see when they were given treatment, what type of tests are done, and when they were discharged. So we were able to compare the behavior the process flow, as well as the performance, which is one measure is the length of stay, how long they stay in the hospital. And we try to see whether there are any differences between them. And we were able to confirm the assumptions of the clinical stakeholders to see that there are differences. And then they can then use that as a starting point for looking at, you know, standardization or improvement in patient care later.
But apart from finding the differences, did you find a root causes or did you identify something, some more meaningful insights?
Yeah, so that's an interesting term, like the root causes. I think a lot of organizations will say, you know, can we find root causes from data? I think it depends, of course, on what is recorded in the data. So we can find differences in a sense that we can say that these group of patients took this long in the system. But if we can, of course, just look at data or context data to see whether or not you can differentiate these groups. But sometimes it is challenging and depends on what data is recorded. So I don't think that for our hospital data sets, we don't go down this route or this route of finding exact root causes. So we can have some indicators to say whether or not the patients have other comorbidity, so the other, let's say, diseases or other things that are influencing how long they will stay, but we can't really pinpoint or identify root causes.
Mm-hmm.
Things are different for another project that we have done that is in the area of what we call compulsory third-party insurance claims or car insurance claims. So in Queensland, when you have a car registration, then you need to have the insurance in case your car was involved in an accident with another car so that they can sue. So that type of insurance claim, we were able to not only look at how long those insurance claims took. So sometimes they take 1 year, 2 years to process. Some claims can take up to 10 years to process.
10 years claim.
Yes. So it can take 10 years to process an insurance claim when you are involved in a car accident. So for that one, we were trying to identify the delays or so-called root causes.
Mm-hmm.
So we were trying, just by looking at the process, we can identify, of course, the typical process delays. So we can identify reworks. We can identify, you know, things that are taking too long, and so on. So we can identify them. We then look at the context data that was given, and we were able to identify the top 10 factors that influences the delays
mm-hmm.
in it. So to answer your question about root causes, if you have the data, then of course you can actually analyze the data further to identify potential root causes. For us, not only do we look at the root causes from the data, but we also did a number of interviews with the stakeholders to see, to get their perceptions of what would be the root causes. And then we compared what we were finding in the data with what the, you know, domain experts think the mm-hmm. root causes are. And that was an interesting study. Let me tell you about another project. So that was the first one that we did with one of the insurers here called Suncorp. And we were analyzing insurance claims for personal and commercial insurance. So what happens when you have an accident? What happened, you know, when you have a seriously bad weather and something happened to your house and you need to put in a claim? Or what if something happens to your business and you need to put in a claim? So those types of claims. So we were analyzing the data for Suncorp's personal and commercial insurance claims. And the organization was interested in looking at why some claims, although the value is not very high, so it's a small amount, while some claims are taking very long. So they were feeling that perhaps the effort that the employees are putting in, right? So it's taking so long, it might not be that proportional to the amount that they will be refunding or they will be paying out
mm-hmm.
to the client. So we were asked to look at how long it takes to process the claim versus the payout of that claim. So we grouped the cases into, let's say, cases that were quick and versus cases that were slow. So we were trying to compare them to see where the differences were. So we found that one of the reasons why some of the claims were taking a long time is because the clients or the customers were being asked to provide more evidence. So the employee will be asked doing another round of information requests, multiple information requests, and that was taking quite a while. So for the small claim amounts, perhaps that's not the best way of, you know, finalizing the claim. So after our analysis, Suncorp decided to improve or revamp their claim processing approach. And then some of the claims that were taking 30 to 60 days before, after they improved it, it took like 1 to 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
So that was quite a huge difference for their customers.
Oh, that's nice. So based on this, can you also maybe generalize and say what are the usual benefits and limitations usually are in process mining projects?
So the usual benefits, I think, is typically providing the stakeholders with, let's say, new insights or evidence-based insights that they don't have before. So it's really about like giving them and like an aha moment because they don't know before, you know, how their processes were performing. So there's always this surprise factor and you are adding to their knowledge. In terms of specific benefits, we are always asked to look at, as I said, process discovery. So we will be looking at, are there areas that could be improved? So are there a lot of reworks for certain groups of cases? Are there activities that are not being executed, you know, in time, so on? So there's always the sort of process discovery and performance. So we can identify bottlenecks, and more importantly, we can quantify the extent to which that is affecting the overall duration of the process, right? So we look at we discover a process for a particular group of cases, we identify the delays or bottlenecks, and then we quantify it. So that will be the key benefits that organizations have. In terms of limitations, so if I break it down into like limitations with input, limitations with the tools, techniques, and of course the limitations with, let's say, outputs or insights. So in terms of limitations with input, it is really about having good quality data that are relevant and that can be used to answer the stakeholder questions. So sometimes you can have perfect data, well, not many, but sometimes you can have perfect data, but the questions that they have are very different to what the data can provide. So it's really about having quality data that is relevant to answer the questions. That's sort of like a limitation that comes with it. The second part with the tools, you will find that you have to use many, many different tools. And you may have to be developing new tools along the way to answer the questions. So it would be ideal if the tools are more user-friendly and then they are more robust and can handle large collections of, you know, data. I would say with the output, the key limitation, I think, is visualizations. Most of the visualizations that we currently have in the process mining tools are mainly for people like us, like process mining researchers or people who knows how to read battery nets or, you know, things like that. So there's still a little bit of a way or a gap to come up with the visualizations that could be understood by process stakeholders. So I think that in my view, there are a couple of limitations along the way. In terms of input, in terms of the tools and techniques, and in terms of, you know, outputs.
What would you recommend for businesses to do in order to collect better data? And to maybe even to identify questions that they would ask later when they already collected that data?
Yes, so I think it's always a good idea to think about what can you do with the data, right, at the time of collection, obviously. Because if you collect for one purpose, right, then you might not have collected the data because you are not thinking about it. So there's always a good idea to think of how we can use the data. But for businesses, especially for process mining, I think the key attributes that they need to have it, let's say, accurate or as accurate as they can, will be the timestamps associated with the events. Mm-hmm. In most cases, we'll find that there's only one timestamp for an activity. So we'll use it as a complete timestamp
yes.
for one activity. Unless they are using, like a business process management system, we don't normally see a start timestamp or a very accurate start timestamp. Some of them will have what I would call more like a enabled kind of timestamp or assigned kind of timestamp.
Mm-hmm.
So they know when this task was given to an employee. They don't know when the employee started. They know when the employee click on submit to complete it. So I think for organizations, if they want to have, you know, accurate insights about wait times and so on, then I would strongly encourage them to look at how they are collecting their timestamps, especially the starts and the completes. And so that's one side from the recording part. The other part is, I think, that the organization should also educate their employees to record the times that they complete the task as accurately as possible. So we have seen some cases when employee will treat the work list as like a checklist, and then they will do all the tasks that they were given on the day. And then around 4:30, 5 p.m., just before they go home,
mm-hmm.
they will click on everything, you know, one after the other to say click, 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 and submit and complete. What that means, of course, for process mining
yes.
is that, yes, you have the timestamp that is accurate to the millisecond, but it does not represent when the task was completed. It only represents at the end of the day. It's more like become a batch processing, although it wasn't batch processed.
Mm-hmm.
According to the timestamp in the log, it's sort of like become like a, you know, everything is completed in the same thing. So I would say those will be two messages. One is to see, to record, you know, multiple timestamps for the activities. So starts, completes, where possible. And second is, if the organization is serious about doing process mining case like analysis in the future, they may have to educate some of their employees to say that this is how these timestamps are going to be used later, and to record them, you know,
mm-hmm.
at the time that the tasks were completed. So
just interesting also, but previously it wasn't recorded anywhere, but now there's BPM as systems and they record. But are there also systems that record automatically all these things?
So yes, it is true that there are more IT systems that supports business processes. So more and more timestamps are recorded. In those cases, you need to look at whether others can go back into the system and treat the timestamps or not. And also looking at, let's say, duplicate timestamps or timestamps that occurs very close together. That could indicate, again, that someone might be just recording or saying that things are complete, and that there's still a gap between the real time that they completed something versus the time that they recorded as saying that it's completed.
Do you usually use in your research and your consultancy, do you use free tools or also paid and commercial tools?
Yeah, so visualization.
And do you see much difference between them, or there is still a very big gap of what is expected of the tools and what is really there?
Yeah, I think that is a visualization remains a challenge for our process mining community. Things are becoming better. Things are much better in a sense that there is a recognition that yes, we need to have, you know, like meaningful visualizations to be able to show our results to stakeholders. So it's there. But you are right that a lot of the organizations are very used to, you know, like polished visualizations. So they could be using, you know, any whatever data analytics, data visualization engines. They could be using even Excel to come up with, you know, colorful graphs and so on. So they are very used to to nice visualizations in their day-to-day life. So then when we are doing or when we are showing our process mining results, number one, we are trying to show a process model in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to make sure that that process model is readable.
The real process model.
The real process model. Yeah. So we know that they are, you know, the real process models are quite complex and it could be hard to read. So that's where I think, we should be looking at, like, I don't know, hierarchical process model and so on. So with our work in Process Profiler 3D, that's what we were trying to do. So we were trying to provide a hierarchical model where performance is projected on the hierarchical model so that we reduce the complexity of this. But I think it still remains a challenge. And for now, we are using a combination of like our own tools, we develop our own things, as well as, you know, whatever else, as well as Excel, whatever sort of visualization, let's say, assistance that we can get from typical tools that they are familiar with to highlight a particular message that we want to give. So we are using one, either the tool, the process mining tools, or we are going back and analyzing the data and creating our own nice looking graphs to be able to complement the tool-based visualization. One more thing about the visualizations. So it's not just visualizations themselves, but it's all to do with the confidence that you can attach to these visualizations. That's what we found with the healthcare data sets and talking to healthcare practitioners. They want to know what sort of confidence or what sort of support we have when we show a certain, you know, number. So average duration, frequency, they want to see how many cases supported. They want to see whether or not it's reliable.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's something else that we can do in the process mining community is to keep track of, let's say, provenance of the data, to keep track of how we actually, you know, derive those insights so that the stakeholders can then rely on that data for their, you know, improvement recommendations or for their improvement actions. So I think visualization to me is one of the key areas that we don't normally focus too much on because we focus on the techniques themselves, like how do we, you know, how do we deal with process discovery, how to do something rather than coming up with nice, meaningful visualizations. So perhaps we can learn a lot more from the visual analytics fields and other fields to help us in that area.
So as the process mining is data-driven techniques, you say that stakeholders meet you with skepticism about the results of process mining.
So we have heard, in some of the projects, and when we demonstrated one of our new techniques, and you know, we will be excited about it, and we'll say, here's our new technique, and we'll say, this is the analysis we have done with your data, and with our new technique, what do you think? And they will say, oh, the technique, you know, looks nice and interesting. But then we will say, do you think that the technique will be useful? And then they will say, oh, yeah, but if only we can trust the data that you used it on this technique, then of course we can trust the, you know, technique to give us insights. So there is some people, they feel that because they know the quality of their data, that they question whether they can take, you know, the insights that we are providing them with faith because they know that the quality of the data is not that good. So we are talking about data quality and saying whether or not, you know, now that process mining techniques are at a certain stage that it can provide meaningful and useful insights to stakeholders. Now the question is, you know, how do we make use of these techniques to give them real insights? So I think that we came across this notion of, data quality becoming more and more important, right? So you have process mining techniques already out there. You have a number of process mining tools and organizations now wanting to do evidence-based or analytics-based mm-hmm. process mining, and so on. So I think, in my view, it is not black or white to say, yes, you have good data or excellent data, or no, you have bad data, and therefore you can't do process mining. I think we need to look at it at the individual, let's say, attribute level. So you might see that if you are given a certain data set, you might see that some attributes, because of the way that it is recorded, or because most of the cases does not have, you know, data in there, so on, that might not be relevant, or you can't use it for process mining. But for other attributes, because it's automatically recorded, or because it's, you know, the quality is higher, the attribute, the in terms of columns, they are more complete, then you can use it. So it is like, it's never possible to just talk about whether an organization has the right sort of data to do process mining at a high level. You need to go and have a look at the snapshot of that data set. And you need to keep asking questions. You need to go and have a look at how that data is recorded. So normally organizations will give us a short demo to say this is how that data went into that database.
But so, do you go and see like, oh, this yes. woman is clicking the button?
Yes. So they will do a demonstration. So it's not, so they will basically take us to, first they will give us the data set, and then we'll have a section where they will basically take us through how that data is collected. Yes, so we have been to hospitals and looking at how things are collected. We have been to, you know, different places, and they would normally also show us the screens that the employees will be using mm-hmm. to enter that data, so that at least we know how the data is being collected. So we can always ask them how it is collected, and that gives us a better idea of where the data is coming from and whether or not that could be trusted. So that's the first thing. Then the second thing is, as I said, process mining, I believe, should be question driven, because we need to know what questions that the stakeholder that has that they want us to answer. So it's never about, you know, can we do process discovery kind of thing.
Not exploratory.
So you will do exploratory of when you have the data or when you have the first data set. But it is quite important for you to have a set of questions that the stakeholder wanted answered to guide you.
Even before, maybe forming that data set.
Before the data set. So because we need to tell them, for example, that if you want to answer such and such type of question, then we need this style of data and so on. So for example, if they say we want to look at efficiency of resources, and then we have to tell them that in that case, it is not enough for them to give us the event log of a particular process, because it is possible that that particular employee could be involved in 3 or 4 different processes. So they could be working with, let's say, commercial insurance, they could be working with personal and so on. So we need to know all the different processes that this particular employee is working on before we can say that that particular employee is
bad.
No, like, you know, how they are using their time.
Okay,
right?
So utilization.
Because if you want to say about the utilization, the traditional view of an event log talking about one particular process may or may not apply. So we normally have to ask the organization, would that person work on multiple processes in a day or just one? Mm-hmm. And you and I both know that most of us works on multiple processes yeah. in a day. So it's a tricky one. So they might then say that if they are not going to give us the second process, we might then look at, okay, this particular person, maybe 50% of his or her time is on this process, where some people 100% of their time is on this process. It's also possible that if we are doing resource efficiency, you might need to know whether that particular person was working full-time or part-time, whether they might be on a particular type of leave, so on and so on. So it really depends on what sort of questions that they have. So we'll ask them, you know, are you interested in resource profiling or resource analysis? In that case, mm-hmm. this sort of information needs to be given. Are you interested in looking at performance and wait times? then we'll ask them, okay, so do you have start and complete? Otherwise, it's hard to wait times, as you know. And we have to say, are you sure, like in terms of the complete timestamps, are they clicking on something as being complete when at the time that they are completed, or are they completing, are they clicking on the buttons at the end of the day, and so on. Some organizations will say, no, they are interested in compliance, right? Conformance, compliance. In that case, most of them are interested in whether or not this activity follows the other activity. Then in terms of the order of things.
So the order, or do they have,
the order.
Do they usually give you a model of how it's supposed to
no,
be?
No, the order. Some of the organization will not have a process model, or that process model will not be as detailed as what you need to match it to the log. So it will be the order. Sometimes that order is given in an Excel sheet that we need to recreate our flows. So it really depends on what type of analysis they want us to do. So therefore, we don't ask for a data set like, here is your data set and see what you can do. That's not how we do it. We would normally present what process mining can do. That will give them some ideas. Then they will say, they will come up with a list of high level questions. Then they will give us a database, like a snapshot. Then we will do a quick exploratory analysis. Then we will learn more about that data set through talking to them more, observing how the data is recorded. And then only after that, that means that we might be asking for a new data set. We might be asking for additional attributes. We might be narrowing down the questions. We might say certain questions cannot be answered with the data that you have collected, so on and so on. And only then that we'll have the final kind of, the real data set that we'll use for our process mining analysis. So that's the two-phase approach, the exploratory first.
Mm-hmm.
And then getting the real data set and go ahead with it. So that two phases, sometimes it could take like 1 to 2 months between those two phases.
Okay, so you start with a sample of data set, and then you not only evolve your methods, but also data set evolves to the questions that you...
Yes, so the data sets are always changing because of it. So In one of our current projects, we had some sample data sets, I would say 3 months ago, and we are still waiting for the real data set for analysis. So hopefully we'll get it very soon. So it could take time in between those, the first data set and the final data set for analysis. So in that way, it's similar to the data mining concerns with data mining as well, right? That you have to take a long time to do data pre-processing before you can do the analysis. So yeah, we face the same challenges. Okay.
I think that's fine. Thank you very much for giving an interview.
Okay.
I'm very happy now.
Yeah, all right. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening for this episode of A Side of Data. In case you have questions, requests or comments, reach me out at Twitter at @asideofdata or via email asideofdata@protonmail.com.